You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, we have two ladies here today that are kind of in the belly of the beast of what is happening with vaccine mandates and mask mandates and all of the craziness that we are experiencing in our country. A lot of it seems to be centered in New York City. And both Irit and Rebecca are from New York City. So I would like to get your take, ladies, on what's happening right now with the vaccine mandates and the fact that they say that they're going to fire people in the fire departments, the police departments, the hospitals. What is happening in New York that, and how is it affecting your everyday life, or what do you see down the road for this?
Right. Well, this is such a big conversation, Linda, in that it affects us personally, it affects my children, where they go to school, and then it's affecting the city. So just on a personal level, for example, my children's school required vaccinations. So all the kids had to have them in order to be able to return to school. My kids are 14 going on 15 years old. I had vaccinated them actually this past spring. And my husband and I were vaccinated as well. I have to say, it was a decision that I made, clear-headed, not one I was happy to make. And I have a little bit of vaccination regret. I wouldn't have done it if it hadn't been required for things like summer camp for my kids or travel or sending them to school. I didn't feel any of us needed it. We're not in any high-risk groups, any of us, and we all actually had COVID a year ago, and very mildly, three of us completely asymptomatically, and my husband had a cough. So it was just medication I didn't even think we needed. So I was reluctant to do it, but I did it. Now the school is sort of talking about boosters. They're saying at the moment that will not be required. It's not something I'm willing to do for myself and my children. So I'll have to fight that battle when and if we get there. But many other parents at the school had called me at the time. They had not been vaccinated as of the summer. And they were just devastated. What were they going to do? The truth is that many of them, you know, said they were vaccinated when they weren't. And, you know, people did not want to stick those needles in their arms, but their kids wanted to return to school and be with their friends. They put parents in a terrible position, I think. And even though I was vaccinated, I really feel strongly that mandates are wrong. They're not based on science. They infringe on people's civil liberties. I don't support it at all. And then the larger city point is we're in a really bad moment here. Our New York City police and firefighters, significant proportions of them have not been vaccinated. These mandates were handed down, and large numbers of them left work. According to one friend of mine who's a former NYPD detective, the NYPD literally had to move their pensions office. They had to take all these tables and move them into some big auditorium because so many people were coming in claiming their pensions, you know, because of this mandate, that wouldn't have done so otherwise, that they couldn't accommodate them all. They didn't have the setup for it. So they had to kind of almost create a whole new space just to accommodate all the people coming in. And what they're not reporting is, according to my friend, is that a large number of firemen and policemen who don't want to get vaccinated are called in sick. And you can sort of do this over a period of several weeks, apparently, and claim sick leave because they're just sort of hoping something will happen, the mandates will be overturned. So not only are a certain percentage of our firemen and our policemen not working, but then another percentage of them who would have been in the office are not working. It's really impacting daily life, and it certainly will impact it more as the weeks go on in terms of safety, public safety, or, you know, this is not the time you want your house or your apartment, God forbid, to set on fire. The implications of this, we haven't even felt yet. And I just can't imagine at this moment in the pandemic, and it's my personal opinion that we are clearly not at the height of the pandemic anymore. This is not an emergency in the same scale that it was, certainly. And to set mandates now, it's just mind-boggling. There's no other way to explain it other than a political maneuver. And so I think just on a personal level and on a sort of citywide level, it's affecting a lot of things, never mind the nuisance of having to literally show your vaccination card before you eat in a restaurant, which is absurd. So I don't know. I just can't imagine we're at this moment. I know that there are a lot of people filing lawsuits around the country. Some unions are filing lawsuits, individuals are filing lawsuits. And in some cases, they're winning, you know, stays until, you know, more evidence can be brought that these mandates are constitutional. But it is, it's just terrifying. But what actually terrifies me the most is that most people I know, just, you know, my friends in the city, just get the vaccine or the booster just to make life easier and move on. It's just easier to do what they say. And so people do what they say. And that actually scares me more than the people who are setting these mandates.
I just want to echo what Rebecca said. I live in Westchester, which is a suburb north of New York City. And I have three children. Two of my oldest are, well, I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and then I have a young son who just turned 8. And I vaccinated my older two girls, not because I feel like they're in any great danger of getting really, really sick from COVID, but I felt, you know, the school mandated it, and I really didn't have a choice. There are several families in the school who have medical exemptions or are exempt for other reasons. And while they're in school, their children are subjected to other rules. They can't go on field trips. They're not allowed to take the school bus. There's also the social pressure where they're then not invited to play dates or to parties. My younger son, who's now 8, and the vaccine was just approved for him. The schools in New York, at least in my area, are opening vaccination clinics on Sundays within the next 2 weeks. So, you know, the kids can come in, get a donut, and get vaccinated. Will I get him vaccinated? Eventually, I will. Will I do it the first week that it's approved? Probably not. But this is what it's like here. In terms of the masking too, New York has actually lifted its mask mandates. So you can go into most restaurants, most stores, and you don't need to wear a mask. But I find, at least in Westchester, most of the people are still wearing masks. And there's also an inconsistency. I'll see them in the supermarket wearing one, and then at a party, it's off. It's all very, very strange. But with the vaccine in particular, I see a type of rhetoric emerging, and it comes from the top down. You see the Biden administration treating the unvaccinated worse than they do America's enemies. And you see that trickle down to the schools and to businesses. And at least here in New York, I see that happening again with parents and you know, who they want their kids to play with. And these rules are certainly discriminatory, and it sort of permeated into this mean girl behavior, you know, where a lot of kids feel excluded from certain events because they're not vaccinated.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Iri, because it has evolved into a mean girl spirit. You know, I look at our Border Patrol in Texas, and of course our governor in Texas has no mandates for vaccines, so you don't have to get vaccinated in Texas. But then you still have the federal mandate. So there's always this fight. Every time Governor Abbott does something, President Biden sues him. And depending on what judge you get on what day of the week, you know, they either uphold it or they don't. So it's kind of a mess. But I know that I have friends in Border Patrol who are really looking at leaving after many, many years in Border Patrol. Now, the people that are coming over the border that my friends are stopping, that they're dealing with in mass numbers every day, don't have to have vaccines. There's no vaccine mandate if you're an illegal immigrant. And I don't even want to say immigrant. I'm going to say illegal alien. They don't belong here. We have borders of our country that are supposed to be sovereign, and they're not. And that is completely the administration's fault. But how hypocritical is it to make a Border Patrol agent leave his job if he will not get a vaccine, and yet have hundreds of thousands, over 1.7 million so far, illegal immigrants flow over the border that have at least a 20% COVID rate amongst them, amongst many other illnesses, and they don't have any kind of mandate. It just makes no sense what we're doing in this country. I absolutely agree with Rebecca in that I believe it's a personal choice and people should be able to make that personal choice. Historically, there are precedents for mandates for vaccines, and that's what the Supreme Court has been kind of hanging their hat on, because a case was just lost in the Supreme Court about vaccine mandates. And I think it was Maine or Maryland that just happened. But it was a different basis of a case than what you'd normally think. So it wasn't on religious preference. Either way, I think it should be the preference of people. The amount of people that you are losing for all kinds of reasons. Many reasons are for the city councils, the mayor, the governor not supporting them. That's why lots and lots of them left. But now the vaccine mandates are making even more leave. It takes years and years of police officers' service to get to the level of being proficient at being a detective, at being a field officer, a training officer. It takes a lot of years. You don't just throw somebody and anybody in the academy and they come out and they're a completely trained officer. They have to work up to the levels that these people are at, and we are losing them at extraordinary rates, and we cannot replace them in any easy manner for years. So this is a problem that if you solved it tomorrow, is still going to go on for years, because there is an exodus from the New York Police Department. And then what we're doing as well in the schools with teachers, as well as what we're doing in the hospitals and the medical community with doctors, nurses, you know, staff, all of these people. Did you know that every congressman and senator don't have to be vaccinated, nor do their staffs, nor do the people that work in the White House, nor do the people that work at the places that make the vaccines like Pfizer and Moderna. And did you know that homeless people don't have to take the vaccine, and illegal immigrants don't have to take it? And there are any number of other federal exclusions, yet we all have to take it. Or I can't eat in a restaurant. I can in Texas, but if I go to New York, where you are, you can't eat in a restaurant without a vaccine card. We're taking a trip to Hawaii. We can't eat in a restaurant over there without a vaccine card. My kids are going, and they are not vaccinated and will not get vaccinated. So they have to find restaurants that have outdoor seating. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And the amount of experience that we are losing in all of the businesses that they are laying people off, the fire departments, that I have a firefighter son, I have a police officer son. So I hear everything that's happening. I know that this is impossible to replace over many years. It's going to take years to get the kind of experience that we are losing by losing these people.
Yeah, I want to just emphasize that what you just said, because it's such an important point. A few years ago in New York, I participated in something called the Citizens Police Academy. And it was a program where they select somebody from every precinct around the boroughs, the five boroughs of New York. And you go once a month to the police headquarters and you meet with the heads of all the different units within the police department. And just sort of, it was an outreach program and a way to engage regular citizens. And I wanted to do it because, I don't know, I always had a positive inclination towards police, obviously, but I really didn't know much about them. And aside from all the interesting things I learned, you know, that the level of training and professionalism in the emotionally distressed persons unit, the bomb squad, I mean, it's pretty incredible, actually, what our uniformed policemen do every day. I don't think we have any appreciation for it or understanding of it. But the big takeaway was just what you said, Linda, like the level of these people, especially the ones who've been there now for 20 years. So they are irreplaceable. They are the cream of the crop. Meeting with the head of the bomb squad, I remember a guy with a PhD in math and some engineering degree as well. I mean, these are serious people who could have gone to hedge funds and made fortunes for themselves, and they instead run bomb squads and put their lives at risk every day. These are extraordinarily smart and talented people, and coupled with that they've been on the job for as long as they have, and they are leaving. There are examples that I know of personally of guys who've been on the force for 20 years. If you wait five more years, you get another bump up in your pension numbers and in the, I think there's some kind of bonus that you get every year. They're foregoing all that to get out now. And that's how bad it is. And those people, as you say, are not so easily replaced. And we will feel the impact of this for a long time to come. And just quickly on the other, on the vaccine piece, you know, this at some point, this is what I struggle with within myself. I did the vaccine, as I said early on, because it was just too hard not to, logistically, I mean. And I'm at a point now where I'm going to have to find the courage and the will to do the hard thing if the booster becomes a mandate too. And I've talked to my children, I'm going to pull them out of school if there is a booster mandate. It's a really hard thing to do. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be put in that position. It's a huge inconvenience. It's a huge upheaval and dislocation and disruption. But, you know, at some point, we all are going to have to take some of the pain if we're going to put a stop to this. And I think I sometimes feel like I was part of the problem because I just submitted. I gave in because it was easier. And I'm just not willing to do that twice. And until I think enough of us just take the inevitable pain, you know, why wouldn't they continue to mandate these things and more in years to come? It works, right? So I think we have to make it not work.
I just to touch on the boosters, I sense that that's coming down the pike right now. There's going to be this huge pressure, at least in our area, to get a booster. I received a newsletter from, you know, my place of worship saying we encourage all congregants to get a booster if you're eligible. And this is just all starting again. There's a friend who's having a life cycle event, a party. You know, she texted me, "Are you planning to get a booster? I'm hoping by January, everyone will have a booster." You just have a sense these type of rules are going to be in place. And also you find a lot of people who sit on the medical committees for these schools or these houses of worship, rarely, you know, either have kids who don't attend the school or rarely attend a service on a Saturday or Sunday themselves, but yet they're able to dictate to the congregants, you know, whether or not they should mask or if they should be vaccinated or if they need a booster, which I also find interesting. My sister is getting married in Florida next month, and she's having a good old-fashioned party, a big party, and a lot of her friends, we grew up in Connecticut, a lot of her friends from the Connecticut, New York area will not come because they've learned that several people attending the wedding are not vaccinated. So, you know, a few of her bridesmaids agreed to walk her down the aisle, but they will not be attending the party because it's inside. And it's just sad. It's just sad that it's come to this. Touching on, you know, the NYPD and the FDNY, you know, morale was already low before this, you know, for the defund the police movement, after the riots in 2020, the summer riots, what they endured. And now we're treating these men and women in uniform who are our heroes as if they're expendable is truly disturbing.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. I'm very sad about the amount of experience that's going to be gone. About 3 years ago, I gave two of my adult kids, I always give them travel for Christmas. So I tend to give all the kids travel, even though they're not kids anymore, because I feel like I want to give them memories rather than gifts. So this particular son and daughter-in-law, I gave them a trip to Alaska. They'd never been to Alaska. And the trip was booked for Christmas, December. The trip was booked for the following May. Well, in March, you know, out came COVID. So they couldn't go, and the cruise ships were no longer going. And the next year, the same thing. The cruise ships still were not going. And now we're in the third year of this, and now they can't go because they're not vaccinated. So I am going to be getting my money back for everything. But it's just such a shame. It's something that I wanted to do with them. And so then I said, okay, well, since we're going to be going to Italy, and you have to be vaccinated to go to Italy. So before I knew that, you know, I asked them, well, let's go to Italy instead. And then I find out we can't go to Italy. So then I start looking anywhere that I can take them to make up that gift from 3 years ago. And it's only really somewhere in the U.S. that they can even go, which is just, I don't know. To me, it's a tragedy, because it's something that my husband and I really wanted to do with our kids is we take them to different places and spend that time with them, you know, so that when we're gone, they have those memories. And I just feel robbed of being able to share those memories with my family and show them things that they've never been able to see and probably can't go do on their own. And now it's gone. Now, I got vaccinated. My husband got vaccinated because we don't want to give up traveling. And that was our main reason. And so we went recently to Italy, and it was great. It was very easy. Most of the people in Italy are vaccinated. You do have to have a vaccine card to eat inside of a restaurant, but most of the restaurants have outdoors dining. So that was fine either way. We had the card, but that's my choice, you know? So I want everybody to have their own choice for whatever their reasons are. I just find it heartbreaking on a personal level that I can't share these things with my kids anymore because they choose not to be vaccinated, which I respect. There are so many problems with this, what they're doing, and it's all about control.
Yeah, I was going to say, Linda, you know, I'm missing my nephew's wedding in Israel. He lives in Israel in December, because even though I was vaccinated, you have to have been vaccinated within 6 months of going to the country, or you have to have a booster. And I'm not willing to get a booster, so I can't go. So even if you've been vaccinated, they want you to keep getting vaccinated. And when will that end? You're going to just keep getting vaccinated forever?
Yes, you are. That is what's going to happen now for a few reasons. It's just like the flu shot. COVID is here to stay. Okay. It's never going away in our lifetime, certainly. And it's going to keep making variants. And so they're going to keep vaccinating just like you get a flu shot. Now, I also did not want to get a booster and I haven't gotten the booster, but I asked a doctor that I know and trust, and he said, yep, go ahead and get the booster. It's the only reason is because it's a good vaccine. It's not a problem. There's nothing insidious happening with it. But the only issue is we don't know exactly how long it lasts. And we found that people don't have antibodies as long as we thought they would. So I'm fine with that for myself. I don't judge anybody else for what they decide. And I respect what anybody decides. And I think it should be their opinion. But these mandates they're way over the top. And I just think that the people that are making these rules are not people that think about the long-term consequences that we've been talking about to families, to our school children, to our job market, to our safety, our very safety with police and fire and first responders of all types that are being laid off. This is not something that's solvable tomorrow. It is not, well, we'll just hire more people. It doesn't really work that way. And I just don't think that they think beyond the moment to what it's doing to our future. You know, I mean, so, okay, you know, you don't get the vaccine, so you lose your job, but somebody else is killed by a drunk driver, or somebody else is murdered in a store, you know, that's being robbed. I mean, where's your trade-off? I just don't understand the thought process here.
Well, that's also a big problem for me personally. Irit mentioned this, and you just mentioned it too, is the people making the decisions. When it came to my kids' school, they just sent out an email, as they often do, announcing what their policy is, and they have a health committee that came to this conclusion. And I asked that at the school, you know, shouldn't there be like a town hall kind of thing where you bring the health committee on to a Zoom call and we all get to sort of ask questions and find out, how did you come to this conclusion? Why is my child being masked when the CDC's own study said that masking school children in schools has no significant impact on the spread of COVID? So, and get an answer to that. Maybe they have a reasonable answer to my questions, but they don't even engage in the conversation and in the debate. So it's just a mandate. It's just, this is what we've decided. Well, how have you decided it? Why have you decided it? What about this? What about that? And even if they came to the same conclusion at the end of it, I think there'd be a level of acceptance and respect for the decision-making process. But part of this is that there is no process. There's just mandates. And the lingering questions that we all have aren't being addressed. We're being told to be quiet and just accept the mandate. And that's where the deepest frustration for me comes in. I don't generally like to be told what to do in life, but I really don't like the idea that sort of a committee gets to sit down and make important and impactful decisions about my life and my kids' life. And I have no ability to question that decision or get answers. I just think that is really what makes people so angry about this. And it's so easily fixable and addressable. And you wonder why they don't just, everybody from the government officials to your local schools, why they don't assuage that level of anger by just having the conversation and speaking to people as though we're intelligent adults.
Well, and I'd like to know why they don't have to be vaccinated themselves. That makes no sense to me either.
Right.
Right. Or why, when they say, you know, that they're all about following the science, well, then if you're vaccinated, it shouldn't really matter what the person next to you decides to do with their body, because you are already protected. And when it comes to masking, I feel at least in New York, our kids will be wearing masks for the foreseeable future. Even I have one daughter who's in school in New Jersey. My sense is that things are a little less intense there, even in Jersey. It's not Florida, but it's not as bad as New York. The schools here too are very, are liberal. So a teacher, found my daughter fiddling with her mask one day and asked her point blank, "Are you even vaccinated?" Which is illegal. I don't think a teacher is allowed to do that. And at the time, she had only gotten, her first dose. It was only 2 days out. And he said, "You're not even protected. You're not even protected." And really shamed her in front of the whole class. But again, it comes from the top down, from our president to the medical committees running saying what the rules should be, to the teachers. It's all filtered down. And unfortunately, our children and the students bear the brunt of their policies.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. And I'd like to introduce our host today. So with us today, we have Rebecca Sugar. And Rebecca is a wife and a mom of twins. And she has been in philanthropic work for many, many years, and she still is in philanthropic work, but she also publishes her own articles in magazines like USA and papers like USA Today, Wall Street Journal, The Spectator. So she's very well read, very well written, I guess I'd say. And welcome, Rebecca. And we have Irit Tratt. Irit is also a freelance writer, so we have actually three writers on this show today. And Irit is she has a master's from the George Washington University in international affairs with focus on the Middle East. That must be really interesting, Irit. And she also is a wife and a mother to three children. Both of these ladies are from New York, and I'm Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner. And also, along with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, the host of Talking While Married, right here on America Out Loud, weeknights at 8 p.m. So please join us there. So, ladies, Joe Biden's numbers are tanking. What do you think?
Well, I think my first thought always is you have to try really hard, given all the media support and all the cover he gets for all of his mistakes, to do this poorly in the polls, because he was so set up to be spectacularly popular that he must be actually working at being this bad and doing this poorly in the polls. It's shocking, actually. It makes me laugh because Donald Trump is looking popular compared to this guy, and everybody knows how the media treated him. So, you know, I just think it's a stunning reveal of the level of his failure and incompetence, that it broke through places like the Washington Post and CNN and MSNBC. That was quite a wall to break through, and he managed to do it somehow. So I guess maybe he should get credit for that. It is something of a feat. So I think even 44% of Democrats don't want to see Joe Biden run again in 24. So he's losing his own constituency. He's losing suburban women. He's losing independents. He's losing people that he should have had easily. And what's particularly stunning to me, I think yesterday, the day before he made that comment, when asked about his polls yet again, he sort of said, well, I don't, you know, care about the polls, and I wasn't elected to worry about the polls. So that's a line that a lot of politicians use. But, you know, when your polls are this bad, it's just simply an indication of the American people's view of your job performance and their sense that you're representing them and the things that they want to see their president do for them. And so if they're telling you that you're not doing the job that they sent you there to do, that's exactly what you should pay attention to. Is making it sound like it's some kind of political, you know, insider baseball game and a numbers game. It's not at all that. It's a real reflection of how the American people feel about their country and your leadership of it. So if you don't care about that, then what do you care about? And no wonder your polls are so terrible.
Arete, do you think that it's possible that he doesn't care because he knows and only plans on being a one-term president, so he's going to get everything done his way as best he can and turn it over to Kamala before he's out of there?
Well, I don't know which is worse, but I also believe that his poll numbers are not as bad as you know, the media is making it out to be. Well, almost 44% of his party wants to see a candidate other than Joe Biden run in 2024. 85% of Democrats still approve of the job he's doing. So I think there's a difference between, you know, those who would like to see another candidate, but still approve of the job he is doing. And I'm not sure if you know, he will turn it over to Kamala to run. I'm not sure. You know, her poll numbers are plummeting as well. So I think they may have to put in someone completely different. But I do think a turning point for Biden was Afghanistan. And I think as Americans, whether, you know, both Democrats and Republicans saw what happened in Afghanistan, saw 13 of our own Marines killed, and really just, you know, there was no way. They had to be critical of him, all of us, whether Democrats or Republicans, as Americans. But he just doesn't command the loyalty that Obama had, even though, you know, I think there were several papers that pointed to both Obama and Bush had approval numbers in the 40s as well. So it's not that significant that his approval numbers are lower. But again, 85% of Democrats still approve of the job he is doing, which is still shocking to me.
Right. But I sort of sense that 85% of Democrats would approve of anything any Democrat did. And it's probably true on the Republican side, too. It's the nature of our politics. But I think the interesting thing about the polls are the independents, which is where elections are won and lost these days. And there he's gone terrifically down. And so there's something important about that I think he should, or the Democrats should be paying attention to. They don't seem to be. They seem to be doubling down on the very things that are driving people away. But, you know, and this point about Kamala coming in, wasn't that always the expectation? You know, for those of us who feel that Joe Biden clearly is in mental decline, and, you know, I don't say that as some kind of conspiracy theory. I literally have always looked at the man and thought, how could anyone imagine otherwise? I'm pretty sure they never expected him to make it through the first 4 years. I'm sure they hoped he might. Maybe they give him enough medication, he could. But, you know, the idea that we'll have a President Harris for some portion of this first first 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency, it seems to me likely, more likely than not likely at this point. It's a horrific reality that I've sort of accepted in my head. And the question is then, what will the Democrats do in 24? Because they for sure don't want to run Kamala Harris as their nominee, because literally anybody could beat her. So I think they're in a terrible bind, and I do have sort of conspiracy theories about what they are planning to do. But either way, it's hard to look at Joe Biden today and imagine that he could remain the president for the next 3 years. Polls are not polls, literally just, you know, his health. I can't imagine it.
I agree with you there. And I think that Kamala Harris is just not remotely capable of being the president of the United States. I just can't even understand why he even picked her. There's nothing in her past that says that she can do this job. And there's nothing right now. She's totally disengaged as a vice president. And I think that they're not even getting along. I don't know what's going on, but something's going on between the two of them. I know that Jill Biden didn't care for her at all. So there's something going on, and not sure about it. You know, my husband talks about the polls quite often. And what he says is, you know, the overall 33% or so that still say that they approve of what Joe Biden is doing, he's incredulous. He says, who are these 33%? How could anybody agree with what's going on? He's changing the entire idea of what America is, everything about it. He's trying to change. He wants to bring in more government. He wants to head towards socialism. That this is not what America is. I mean, opening our sovereign borders to millions of people coming over, and not the best of people, coming over from 148 different countries. I mean, who does that as a person who is a red-blooded American that's interested in what is best for America, and then wants to pay them money for having been separated? I have news for people. If you get arrested for anything that you do illegally and you get taken to jail, your family doesn't get to come with you. It's the same at the border. Your family, you have committed a crime by coming into our country illegally. Your family does not get to stay with you. To pay people $450,000 that were affected by this in 2018 under Trump is ridiculous, when Obama did the same thing for 4 years, 8 years, he did the same thing. So I don't understand, you know, where this money is coming from, except for all of our pockets. And it's just wrong. I mean, there's so much wrong about this presidency. We could talk for weeks on it. To even have 33% of people say that they approve of the job, or even worse, 85% of Democrats, is very scary to me.
I live a few minutes away from Westchester Airport, where it was reported a couple weeks ago, a couple plane loads of illegal immigrants landed late into the night. And this push to reward, you know, $450,000 per person is essentially a plan to reward illegal immigration. And it, you know, just to point out, that's more than is paid to the families of 9/11 victims, and it's more that's paid to families of U.S. servicemen who have been killed in action. And there are some Democrats even questioning this approach. Even Mark Kelly from Arizona, Senator Mark Kelly, who's very vulnerable. And you know, throughout all of this, it's a question too: who will the Democrats put up if not Joe Biden? Because they're also turning on each other. You see the progressive wing turning on the moderates. Cori Bush just hammered, Joe Manchin for his position on the spending bill, and so they're turning on each other now. And it's hard to see who will emerge the winner, whether the moderates or the progressives. Right now, it's looking like the progressives. We saw how they held up funding for the Iron Dome, for replenishing the Iron Dome for Israel, $1 billion. And Steny Hoyer, to his credit, scrambled enough votes, you know, to get it passed later in the week. But it really highlighted, you know, the problem within the party, where you have Steny Hoyer, Nancy Pelosi, they're 80, Pelosi's in her 80s, Schumer is 70, you know, in his late 70s or seven, you know, in his 70s. This is going to be a problem down the road. Just who is going to be the voice of the Democratic Party and who they choose to put up as their candidates going forward. Yeah,
this is an interesting question, actually, for that I often pose to a lot of my friends who voted for Biden, some of whom are sort of traditional centrist Democrats, some of them who traditionally voted for Republicans, but just couldn't bear any more Trump and whatever that meant to them, and who now have deep Biden regret. And when you sort of talk to them, as I have, and try to get to, well, what tipped you? Now they're sort of saying they're going to vote red Republican in 22. It just doesn't matter who it is. They're just voting Republican down the line, just as a counterbalance to the crazy that they see as having happened in this administration and just this last, you know, 9-10 months. And when you try to get at, well, what was it? Was it Afghanistan that tipped you over the edge? Was it the CRT in schools? Was it weaponizing the DOJ? Was it, and you go down the long list of all the things that it could be. It's sort of feels to me like they don't give a specific answer. What they sort of say is there's this overwhelming sense that what you just alluded to, Iri, that what they thought was this sort of moderate Democratic Party that would always overwhelm the far left, you know, AOC and the squad, they were annoying and sort of growing in their power, but they kind of poo-pooed it and felt that there was the old guard and the serious people who would never let this grow. And I think they're getting now that the old guard is literally old, right? So they're literally not going to be able to stave this off forever. And that they're not really staving it off. And, you know, that they're kowtowing to it. Schumer is deathly afraid of AOC and turning into as much of a liberal activist as he could possibly pretend to become, right? And there are many examples of that. So there is this growing sense amongst the reasonable sort of Democrats that I know that what they thought Biden was a representation of, this sort of middle of the road, moderate, he wasn't going to get much done. Everything would sort of be quiet for a few years. They were just looking for some quiet, that they were deadly wrong, A, and that B, this sort of wall of moderate Democrat sentiment and action is not that thick. And they're terrified now that they've unleashed something that they can't put back into the box. And I think this Biden regret, you know, while 75% of Democrats may still be saying that they like the job he's doing, I don't know who those people are, why they're saying that. But my sense is that that's more of a us versus them commentary. Like, well, we just hate the Republicans because we always hate the Republicans. But when you get down to it, I think there are enough Democrats who are looking at this and saying, you know, we hated Trump and maybe we hate Republicans, but we can't let this happen. And maybe that's the gift of Biden's spectacular failures here, is that they're so spectacular that they've woken people up from their slumber.
Can people not see that whether they liked or didn't like President Trump, how much better off we were as a country under him, how much better off the world was? Because as America goes, so goes the world. And I can tell you, having traveled overseas recently, the world is worried. The world doesn't like what they're seeing. And they did like what they were seeing under President Trump. So the ridiculous, first of all, the media caused very much of the dislike for Trump. Trump, with his bombastic mouth, said a lot of things that kind of irritated very many people. For me, it never really bothered me. I wish that he wouldn't do it. I think that he would be much better off. But as a person who got things done, he did it. But to have people that are American citizens, and especially somebody like all the people you've just mentioned, Joe Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, all these people have been in politics for a very long time. They have been in America for a very long time. Why would they take our country down a socialist road when there is no socialist government you can name on the planet that is a successful government? And what they're doing is not what the American people want. They're jamming this through. And yes, some places have elected the Ocasio-Cortezes and the Ilhan Omars. And, you know, you have to look at the areas that did that, where Ilhan Omar is from. She's in a very small area that is full of Somalis, and that is who's voting for her. And by the way, the amount of people in her district that voted is minuscule. So the people that did vote happen to be her constituents. But if the rest of the people would vote, I don't think she would be elected. And this is a problem that we have in the country.
It's interesting. I just read a piece of it. It's in the Washington Examiner, believe today or yesterday, and it's titled "For Democrats, All Republicans Are Trump," and it, you know, highlighted how back when Mitt Romney was running, Biden maligned him and you know, suggested he was racist. So I almost don't know that it matters. You know, the Republicans should put up the best candidate for our country, and whenever they try and put someone up to appease the other side, I think it never works. And I wonder, at least here in my area, my friends have been pretty quiet about Biden. And they're sort of these reflexive Democrats. They've always voted for the Democratic Party all their lives. Their parents have voted that way. And I don't know. I'm not as optimistic as Rebecca. I'm not sure how willing they would be to vote for a Republican, even if it wasn't Trump. I think Trump was a convenient excuse just because of his, you know, how unconventional he was. I think if they put up someone a little softer, I don't know that would make that big of a difference. I think these, you know, a lot of these Democrats are very entrenched in the party and have a lot of loyalty. I remember, you know, during the riots, the summer riots, I asked one of my friends, you know, look what's going on in New York City and the looting. And she basically said, well, that's what insurance is for, or made a little joke. I don't know. Well, many of them who are loyal to the party, I don't know how willing they would be to vote for a Republican, however moderate that candidate may be.
Yeah, maybe the hope is just that they don't vote at all, which is equally good, I guess, which happens, right? They may not be motivated to vote for Republican, but they're deep down, in ways they may not admit, they're certainly not motivated to vote for people like Joe Biden. So they might just stay home, which would work to the Republicans' advantage. And I just want to say also, you know, somebody who would say a thing like that, and I've heard lines like that, you know, sort of the ha-ha kind of, that's what insurance is for, or similar lines, they're all sort of steeped to me in some sense of, well, this stuff doesn't touch me. Right. They're, you know, and, you know, you could say the same of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. As Linda, you pointed out, they're not subjected to the very rules that they make for other people. They don't feel like any of this touches them. So they don't really care if they make a big mess of the average guy's life in Minnesota or wherever. It doesn't actually impact them. And I think a lot of the people that I know sort of feel that way. They're not right. It impacts them in ways they haven't thought of, and it will impact them eventually in ways that they will have to confront. But I think a lot of people just feel this has nothing really to do with me. They're in a tax bracket maybe that they just feel they can insulate themselves, or they live in an area that just doesn't bump up against this stuff very much, or they don't send their kids to public schools. And CRT isn't a problem, or whatever they're telling themselves, whatever sort of story they're telling in their head. And I always think that these things boil down to what touches you personally. And unless or until these, you know, you could talk about illegal immigrants flying in the middle of the night, as I have, and Reet and I have, and a lot of my friends have, and we're horrified by it, but we never see these people, you know, they don't seem to be where I am. So my friends still live their lives And I think that's really scary and dangerous. And I just want to point out today, we had an election day in New York as well. And there were a couple of things on the ballot today. And I was just sort of telling my friends about some of these things that were put in to change our state constitution that are terrifying. And, you know, the general reaction I got was sort of that joke that was, you know, said to you, Arita. It was sort of like the equivalent. It was, you know, that's what my home in Florida is for, or whatever they're saying that sort of says, I can't be bothered. That doesn't, you know, impact my life directly. It's really a sad commentary on the very people who are really the people who should be going to the polls and taking action and doing things. I think they're not. But so all that to go back and say, well, maybe your Democrat friends in Westchester will just stay home. And maybe that's the best we can hope for.
I think you're absolutely right there. If it doesn't impact you, then you kind of ignore it. And, you know, I happen to watch the statistics as much as I possibly can on what's happening with the illegals that are coming over the border. And I have to tell you that every day you can look somewhere in the country and you can see an illegal immigrant. And here's an example of one that was just, and I don't remember if it was in Florida or New York. It was one of those two places where, you know, mom is driving down the street with her five-year-old daughter in the car seat in the back, and a drunk illegal immigrant from Honduras, whose alcohol level was off the charts, who was driving in a vehicle that wasn't his with no driver's license. And by the way, they don't know our driving rules in the United States. So they come over the border, they get drunk, they borrow somebody's car, steal it, whatever they do. And he rams into the back and kills this five-year-old girl. Do you not think that these people affect us? They affect us in so many ways. And this is a daily occurrence. I could go through horrific cases of what's happening with these people that are coming over our border. And I do that because of my husband and my show, Talking While Married. Those are the things that we talk about there. This does impact people very much. And it may not have impacted you and probably hasn't impacted your friends, but it just takes one time and your life is forever changed. Can't wait until we just decide that it impacted us. We really have to be thinking about the big picture. And I'm just not seeing that. I'm not seeing that with people. I'm not seeing that they're interested in the school board elections and they're not interested in the municipal elections, which are so important to how our lifestyles go, because local elections are critically important to all of us.
You're right. I think, you know, until it happens in our backyards, at least in this area, and, you know, Rebecca, you too, like you mentioned, you know, there's this apathy and people don't want to deal with it. They would rather, you know, focus on where their children are going to get into college or their soccer teams or other, you know, smaller issues. They're not so concerned with these big picture items. But I do feel that Americans are starting to wake up to border security and they don't like what they're seeing. I think Republicans in July held a 10-point advantage over Democrats when it comes to border security. And today they hold a 27% advantage over Democrats. So, you know, people are starting to pay attention and it's scary what's happening and it's going to impact our schools. You know, I wonder these public schools, they can't handle, you know, many more children. Now, what's going to happen to the public school system, to our healthcare system? It's going to start getting some more attention.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.